This is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he taught and said to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and the scribes who heard it sought a way to destroy him. That's not the first or last time that happens in the New Testament. They sought a way to destroy him for many reasons and ultimately prevailed. We have art and music and poetry and literature in our culture for lots of very good reasons. In one sense, an artist or a musician or a poet can present us with something that reveals kind of an amazing truth that we sort of knew about our lives and ourselves, but with rather stunning clarity, it hits you. That happened to me this week. We're getting ready to go to a concert on Thursday. One of our favorite singer-songwriters is coming to town, Todd Snyder, on Thursday night. And as it turns out, my Thursday night three-hour class is getting an hour furlough. They don't know that yet. But in the run-up to this, we picked up one of Todd's most recent albums called Agnostic Hymns. And on that album is a song called Digger Dave's Crazy Woman Blues, one line of which goes like this. "The only way you know you've gone far enough is to go too far and back up." It's another way of saying it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. And when I heard that, I thought, nailed it. That's my philosophy of life, for better or worse, and it is both. The only way to know that you've gone far enough is to go too far and back up. Jesus went too far, and he knew it. They sought a way to destroy him, and he knew that had to happen. But that was Jesus. And though we know it ended, in a real sense, badly for him, we all go too far, do we not? We go too far in a variety of ways, and it's hard to know sometimes when to back up. So that's what I want to talk about today, going too far and backing up. I don't know if we all do, but I certainly go too far on the job. There are things that I define as obligations. There are things I move to and through and that, eventually become obsessions. And whether you have a job or not, I think we all are capable of obsessing about something that simply can consume us and drain our energy. I think there's a way to know when it's time to back up from that. And the best measuring device, actually there are two, for learning when it's time to back up. Well, look at a calendar or a clock. And look at your checkbook balance. How much time and how much money is going into this obsession? And to what extent is work or anything about which you obsess, consuming more time, maybe more money, such that you are essentially standing alone and the people you love, the people in your life, are somehow in the background? That's how you know it's time to back up. And you back up, I think, with sort of a negotiation of boundaries. You know, I've got this stuff in my life. I have this job or that or this thing that captures my interest, or this avocation, or whatever it is. But it's useful to back up and discover the boundaries. Keep it in perspective, in a sense. Sometimes we call that comp time. You know, there are times when our jobs and our interests do take a lot of what we have in the way of energy, and necessarily so. But then it's time to negotiate a boundary, some comp time, and back up. when the clock and the calendar and the checkbook balance leave you essentially out alone. We go too far on the job. We negotiate a boundary and back up. We also go too far sometimes with what we just know is true, and if everybody else just believed and did what I did, the world would be better. Kind of a single-minded ideology of what we know is right. I have this film that I've been showing to my freshmen every year. It's a documentary, in a sense, piece of research. And it's now in its third iteration, and every iteration it gets more intense. It's a content analysis of music video, popular music that's been set in video, and essentially these are the things that are designed to sell the music of the artist. And this particular video is a content analysis of gender and sexuality and violence in music video. Think of Miley Cyrus only times 10, if you will. It's extraordinarily provocative. It is deeply disturbing. And it is sort of an in-your-face analysis and critique of the narrowness of the stories we tell each other, or our kids tell each other, about what is appropriate and inappropriately attractive. And the images are way over the top. As I say, I've been showing this video for years. And several years ago, 10 maybe, I had a student come up to me the next class period and say, "I'm a very conservative Christian, and I could not watch that. It was against my principles of faith, and the things that I was feeling when I was watching it forced me to leave the room." And I hadn't noticed that. Later on, I've been getting email responses over the years that give me a sense that this is on the edge. But I believe it's worth it. I think that the learning that comes from being challenged and confronted is worth it. Well, last fall, after I showed the video, and I had already told the students, "We're not taking attendance today. This is not something that you have to sit through if you find that you simply can't." Well, one girl did, because she was afraid there was going to be a test question on it, and I neglected to mention there wouldn't. I got a note from my supervisor. She sent an email to the department chair saying, "This is out of bounds." So I don't believe it is, frankly. And yet, maybe it's too far. So this semester, this last week, I made the video available via a link on the internet and said, instead of having class on Tuesday, watch the video at your own pace and on your own time. So that was me knowing that, at least in part, I may have gone too far with an idea. And I stepped back and compromised another way to preserve the idea, but also to preserve a little freedom. Well, I think that that's a useful benchmark for some of the things we just know are true. There's a pretty good chance that the more single-minded we get about that, we're going to again find ourselves pretty much standing alone, needing to back up through a kind of compromise. So ideas can take us too far. We back up with compromise. And finally, I think we move through the course of our lives, individually and together, with a sense of self, and that's a developing sense of self. Sometimes we take that too far. One of the most useful insights from social psychology is the idea that all of us are, to varying degrees, but pretty much all the time, to some extent, in character. We have a label for what we're about. And make no mistake, I am firmly in character right now. I am the pastor. I've got a costume. I've got props. I've got a script. I am playing a role. This one happens to be particularly prominent at the moment. But I'm more or less in this character kind of all the time. Sometimes I'm in a different role with a different character called Professor. Sometimes it's spouse. Sometimes it's Papa. But to some degree, all of those labels that we attach to who we are and what we're about are characters. I have to tell you that probably once a week in my work at Tech, in the course of my teaching, and probably once a month when I'm sitting on this bar stool, you know, what I'm putting forward is what I've planned to say. But there's another little voice in the back of my head that none of you hear that says very quietly but persistently, you know what, Rev, Doc, you are 9/10 of the way to halfway full of spit. And I know that. Sometimes I'm there for effect. And you know that because if I wasn't 9/10 of the way to halfway full of spit, I would have not disguised the profanity. We are all, pretty much all the time, partially in character. And unless you are alone in a room with someone who loves you very much and you are weeping at the time in their arms, you're in character. We can go too far in character, such that we have lost a sense of self and substance. This is why actors fly off the rails, because they become so immersed in a character that they've lost themselves. How do you know when it's time to back up? When you have forgotten what makes you weep, when you are alone and away from someone who loves you enough to hold you. In each of these instances, going too far with a job, with an ideology, or even with an image, they all leave us standing alone. And isolation and estrangement is really the definition of sin as a condition. All of the sinful thoughts, words, and deeds that we do or are about result from being separated or estranged from God and from one another. Jesus went too far for this reason. He was firmly and completely in character. Jesus of Nazareth, Son of God. He was firmly committed to the job he was called to do, go save the world. He had a very clear idea of what his single-minded ideology was. And in all three instances, it left him alone because he intentionally went too far. He knew it would get him killed. That was the point. And by himself, he went to the cross and entered the tomb for 3 days to absorb the burden of estrangement. And then he came back. And he came back for one purpose and one purpose only. He went too far by himself to the cross and into the tomb and came back to us to take us with him. To remind us that in community, we are never really alone. And when we go too far in anything, backing up puts us in touch with a community that he calls the very body of Christ, a community of faith, a community of commitment, a community of love. And that's where we are today. How do you know when you've gone far enough? Maybe we have to go too far and then back up right here. Amen.